W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Severe summer weather across the country. 7 inches of rain fell in less than an hour Saturday in Upper Makefield Township, north of Philadelphia. At least 5 people killed. 2 children, a 9-month-old boy and his 2-year-old sister, are missing. Coast to coast, there's extreme heat.
In the Northeast, country star Jason Aldean had to cut short a concert in Connecticut because of the heat.
It was pretty intense last night at the show. Anybody that was at the show knows how hot it was.
And now, smoke from the historic wildfires burning in Canada is triggering more air quality alerts. Dense smoke is expected over the eastern Great Lakes and parts of New York and Pennsylvania, while hazy skies are expected for much of the Northeast today.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Death Valley, California, clocking 128 degrees. Russia says it's been hit by a Ukrainian terror attack. A key bridge connecting Crimea to Russia's mainland blown up by underwater drones. 2 people killed. This is ABC News. Parts of Vermont still recovering after deadly flooding last week. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg will survey some of the damage today. A massive crash at the Tour de France, and it may have been caused by a spectator crowding the route for a picture.
After Sunday's mass domino-like crash mess, there were appeals from several teams and a leading competitor in the Tour de France. Jonas Vingegaard telling spectators lining the route, cheer, but don't stand on the road or pour beers on the cyclists. It makes a difference, as Vingegaard at one point led by only 10 seconds. He says you don't need a cell phone to create mind-blowing memories. Video of Sunday's crash suggests it may have been caused by a spectator taking a selfie. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
And for the first time, the New York City Police will be led by a Latino police commissioner. Edward Caban, who has been serving as the city's acting commissioner, will be officially named to the top job this morning at the Bronx Precinct, where his career began in 1991. M1, ABC News.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha.
Whiskey in the Water.
With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy,
Whiskey in My Water,
and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me.
Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha or by visiting the Rewards Club booth.
Then, because fun has no age limit,
we'll be opening our concert up to everyone.
Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr
at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha,
your place to play.
Visit our website for more information.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of July, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on July 29th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusha. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flint Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things,
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Coming to the greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back for hour two of Mino and the Mayor, of course, now known as the Mayor and Mino in the second hour.
I get top billing, Joe, in the second hour.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He whined for so long, Joe, you can't believe it. But you know what the funny part is? Even like with some of his relatives on Saturday, they're like, hey, what do you think? This is my impersonation of him. Hey, what do you think? The Mayor and Mino or Mino and the Mayor? This is cousin. Mino and the Mayor just has a better ring to it. I never liked that. Then he goes, I never liked that cousin. You know, you got some cousins you just don't like.
They drink too much.
But. Welcome back to the Mayor and Mino. Our very special guest today, Joe Vertigan. Joe and I go back far. Joe has written seven local books, numerous ones on the racing scene in Wisconsin, one on the reformatory, which is pretty amazing. And working another one on the Monfils case, of which I am a very big advocate of and researcher of. That's something near and dear to my heart. But Joe Vertigan, first of all, welcome, buddy.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be back here. And this is a really neat location. I mean, I remember I used to walk my dog down here from the west side when I lived in Green Bay. And when you said the call letters, you can't miss us. You weren't kidding. I drive by and I can see you guys right through the window. Yeah. This is cool.
It is a beautiful studio, and thanks for coming in. And
can I just say one thing first? I mean, Joe and I have a history. We go way, way back to 19, what year?
88 or 89. So I'll tell the story if you want.
Yeah.
I was his intern at WLUK TV 11. Yeah. Oh, this, you know where this is going. And it's like 9:30. We're watching China Beach, feet up on the desk, sowing down on KFC. And the producers are like, John, we got a sportscast coming up here in like a half. We'll get to it, you know. So we had a lot of fun.
And then we'd throw it together in about 12-15 minutes and wing it.
Oh, a lot of fun.
They allowed you, John, to have an intern.
Yes. Wow, that,
pretty loose management.
Somebody had to go get the KFC.
I got a great story. The one thing, before I went back to school, we did a couple of preseason games that were at Lambeau. So I met Horning and Bill Jarts, you know, up in the thing. But the story I helped you work on was Ezra Johnson coming back as a Colt. Remember? He came to Lambeau. I remember, you know, holding the camera and doing the stand-up for that. Ezra Johnson, the hot dog eater. Yes. But that was a cool one.
That was the time I got into it with Eric Dickerson.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I remember. I wasn't there for that specifically. What happened with that? But I remember hearing about it.
Okay, so I covered the Packer-Colts exhibition game in Indianapolis.
Sure.
Okay? And after the game, Bob Irsay, the owner, mm-hmm. came in. He was talking to Dickerson, and I was right there by him. And he said, don't worry about it, Mr. Irsay. When we meet him in the regular season, we're going to kill those guys.
Oh.
Okay?
Sure.
And then it was in the Indianapolis paper that week that he had said that. Well, the Packers got a hold of that, cut it out, put it on their bulletin board.
Right.
You know, everybody does that. No big deal.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So I wasn't in the Colts locker room. Mark Ewing was. Remember Mark Ewing?
Big 6 foot six.
Bigger, six eight, maybe. Yeah. Yep. Played at Kansas. So he came back into the Packers locker room where I was. He says, hey, Eric. Oh, no, no, no. So back it up. Back it up. So I said on the show on Saturday night on my sportscast, I said, well, you know, after the game in Indianapolis, Eric Dickerson said they're going to kill the Packers. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Right.
Okay. So somebody said to Eric Dickerson in the locker room, well, would you consider this killing them? And Eric Dickerson says, I never said that. Some bleepity bleep on TV last night on Channel 11 said I said that. I never said that ever. He's lying.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So Mark came and told me that.
Oh, wow.
So I made a beeline to the Colts locker room, and I ripped the thing off the Packers bulletin board. I go, Eric Dickerson? Yeah, I was the bleepity bleep said that last night. And he goes, you bleepity bleep. I go, really? Here it is from the Indianapolis Star. And he looked at me, I didn't say that. I said, well, then tell a reporter from the Indianapolis Star. And he says some stuff to me. I say some stuff to him. Ezra Johnson walks over.
Sure.
Says, E.D., get on the bus. Oh, he goes, no, Ezra, this guy. Blah, blah, blah. He goes, that's Mino. Mino's cool. Get on the bus, E.D. Mino, how you doing? That was my Ezra Johnson, Eric Dickerson story.
I remember during training camp, who one of your big sources was Randy Wright. He'd come in the sports office all the time. We kind of knew who was going to be cut in the whole nine yards. Remember that?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No question.
This guy had sources, man. I'll tell you.
You went nose to nose with Eric Dickerson. Weren't you like a little nervous he was going to?
Nah. Yeah.
No?
Yep.
Really? Wow.
What are they going to do?
Good for you. I mean, you were right. And these guys do, they're always covering up. I didn't say that. Well, yeah, you did. Yeah. So.
Eric Dickerson, good for you. I think any pad that they made back then, he wore. Remember
I know.
That?
Remember everything.
Everything.
And the rec specs.
Yeah. He sported those kind of like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did. Too.
Absolutely.
They made him look good.
Him and really Chuck did. Muncy for New Orleans. Yeah,
that's another one.
Those are the two that wore those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Joe and I could talk like all day long, I guess. Just so you know it. But once again, Joe Vertigan, our very special guest, author of seven, count them, seven books and working on his eighth on the Monfils case.
Joe, I haven't read all your books, but you like research, obviously. They're pretty detailed books.
Yes.
And tell me about your interest in the whole racing part of it. Like that.
How it started was...
your cousin, right?
As a kid, well, my cousin was a five-time champion. He's from Green Bay. Scott Hansen grew up on Hazelwood Lane on the southwest side
legendary
of town.
Legendary local driver.
Yes, and he won five titles. But as a kid, my grandfather was the flagman at the Brown County Fairgrounds in De Pere, Daryl Abisher. My grandma Abisher and my aunt Chris Hartung scored the races at De Pere way up in the crow's nest. And my mom was, and my dad was a pit steward and he, at a tracks, and he kind of pitted for Scott. And so as a kid.
Total family affair.
Oh, right. And my mom was even a trophy queen 1 year.
Oh, no kidding.
She doesn't like to mention it, but she was a trophy queen 1 year. So
you're a trophy guy 1 year, weren't you? Something. All right, go ahead.
But anyways, it just, okay. As a kid, I soaked all this stuff in. And, you know, I bought pictures and I would pick up like the Midwest Racing News. Back then, the racing trade papers were huge. And I soaked up all of this stuff, and I started my racetrack announcing career. I was just 13 years old. I was just a kid who, I would ride my bike up to Scott's shop, and all these different people would come, and I would just soak up all the adult conversations. They'd be scaling the race car, and so that was kind of neat. I started announcing at 13 when my dad had to drive me to the tracks at Seymour, and then at 141 Speedway, and once I got my license, I mean, I kind of spread my wings, and there's not a track within probably a couple of hours here. I haven't worked dead at some point in time. So,
well, and you still do, because we work together, myself, Joe, and Ted Stefaniak at 141 Speedway and WIR.
Yes.
That was so much fun, especially the dirt track. I thought that was so much fun. The only problem is they had to stop doing it because it gets so dusty at those tracks.
It was hard. Did they trash a camera or something?
Yeah. The dust gets, it's so fine, it gets into everything. But I thought that was a blast at 141. And you know what? Every time that somebody would lose a wheel, you know what, of course, he would say as the track announcer?
What's that?
You'd sing it. You picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel. And I should stick to announcing.
I think a writing. Hey, you're in your books, I mean, you go past the X's and O's of racing, you really get into some of the family and some of the rivalries and things that were going on. Does that still happen today? It
does. And the neat part, you know, I've been writing about racing. I started writing, well, I wrote for the trade papers eventually. And then I got a call from Tim Hardy at the Green Bay News Chronicle, 95-ish. So I started writing for the News Chronicle, which in Green Bay, you know, it was like to get any kind of racing coverage is pretty tough with the Packers. You know, yeah. It really was. Yeah. You know, some guys, and I'll tell you, John was real good about it with television. And another one who actually gave it its just desserts was Larry McCarron when he was at Channel 5.
That's right.
The Rock got that. And then I wrote for the Chronicle, and then I got a call from Mike Vandermus, early 2000s at sports editor at the time of the Press Gazette. And right. He's like, hey, how'd you like to come and write for us? And I was kind of like, oh, I'm a champion of the little guy, you know, because the News Chronicle was always the underdog. Right, yeah. And then he says, well, I got news for you. Gannett's going to buy him up, and you know the rest, and you know the story. So yeah, then I weighed it, and I'm like, I'd rather give the tracks and drivers exposure, you know, in title towns. So I kept doing that, and I wrote for the Press Gazette until I retired from the prison in 2020. And then I started my own. It's a digital website, joelvertigan.com. No, so we're still writing driver profiles. It's a lot of fun.
Is that still like I'm not the biggest race car enthusiast. You know, I mean, I've gone to some races when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. 141 mm-hmm. Speedway. We would go to that just as
Francis Creek.
Yeah, yep. Something to do because I Mantua kid.
Remember those sandwiches they had there? Those bratwurst things.
Steak sandwiches.
Yes.
Oh yeah, those were good. And the brat patties too.
My gosh, that was you can't the best go food wrong. Ever. Well,
some people went for the racing. And anyway, is it still a thing? I mean, tell me a little how it is today, right?
Does 141 is it still going?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's been off and on a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been on. But the sports changed. So what's happened is with all this evidence in my books, the first one, Life in the Past Lane, was 2015. A lot of the subjects I wrote about and interviewed for that are no longer with us. Local guys, Earl Ness, a Green Bay standout. I interviewed him when he was in his 80s, Red Bedell. Paul Kazurowski, who was a big realtor in town. You may have heard of him.
Oh, yeah. And, Red Bedell, everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, Red was a great guy. Right. He was Green Bay through and through.
Right.
But what's happened, the sport in 2023, where we're at now on short track level, not really talking NASCAR, it's changed and it's become more backgate driven. And what I mean by that is the amount of people that come to the stands to watch it, your general fans, is dying off. It's shrinking, but more people are participating in it because there's so many different classes, you know, financially that are spaced out. So people that may have sat in the stands 40 or 50 years ago at DePere or Shano or Seymour, well, now they're getting involved and they're in the pits. I mean, kids are in the pits now. So, you know, the front gate, which we call, which is, you know, the people that pay the tickets to watch it, that number ever across the board has shrunk. So smart promoters got to work harder to keep that average fan coming to the races.
So what is it to get them there? Like, you know, I mean, the cost of admission isn't that high for racing, is it?
No, it's actually a pretty cheap date, if you ask me.
I mean, compared to some of the things we go to. But maybe it's, you know, sometimes you just need a young, you know, fan, a young participant that, mm-hmm. you know, if he's like a Tiger Woods or something there, or somebody that can really draw attention and get a following. And I think race car has a lot of that. I mean, I don't, you know what I mean? Some of these race car drivers are very, very popular,
At the NASCAR level, the one kid, not a kid anymore, he's probably his late 20s, is Ty Majeski from Seymour. Right. He's one of the top runners in the NASCAR Truck Series. And he, you know, the problem with like NASCAR, it's a pay to play kind of thing.
Right.
It really is. The days of a Dick Trickle, who was a rookie of the year at 48 from Wisconsin Rapids, you know, Matt Kenseth kind of earned his stripes. He's a WIR champion.
Absolutely.
Who raced for a Green Bay car owner, Mike Butts, Patty Butts. So, yeah, it's tough. It's the sport's still strong and healthy, but it's changing, though. And you got smart promoters will change with that and work harder to get the average fans out to the track.
And that's what we need to get. Because it is fun to watch.
Oh, I love it. We had such a blast.
Some of those young kids, I mean, there's some of those drivers are pretty young.
And yes.
I look at these guys, they have a little bit of a death wish. I mean, there's a little danger out there, too, right, Joe?
Oh, absolutely.
But that's not why you go, but it sure is fun to watch. We're going to talk more about how to get engaged, how to support the
and about your other books, the
Reformatory
book, which is just flying off the shelves in some places, isn't it?
Joe, you can stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I got nothing but time.
Great. The Mayor and Mino, WGBW, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience
to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flint Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 75. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 55. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 78. Temperatures near average Wednesday and Thursday with highs from the upper 70s to the low 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 57.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct
on WGBW.
Welcome back. The Mayor and Mino here at 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, Green Bay Talk. We're joined by Joe Vertigan, who has written seven different books around the area. Majority of those on racing. Another great book on his time spent at the reformatory as both an inmate and a guard. And also working on one now on the Monfils things.
Joe,
I'm just joking about the partisan inmate.
I know. I met my wife in prison. She was an officer there.
Did you really?
Okay, I'm glad you finished that sentence.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. I'm glad you finished a sentence. Right. I met my wife in prison. Well, Joe, how's everything else going? But who was an officer there? I want to clarify that.
Yes.
Joe, we're talking before we went to break. I want to transition to your other books because, I mean, it's all local. It's great reading, great writing. And again, I want to give you kudos for the research. You know, it's just not some thoughts around your head. You really delved into some of these stories.
And one of the reasons I decided to go into the racing thing, I kept a ton of racing programs, driver's lists from the 70s. I had crates and crates of this stuff. So I've got access. And luckily, through my connections of announcing all these years, I knew who to contact. Like for the first book, half those guys never owned a cell phone. So it's kind of neat. Right. I'd have to call them on a landline and I'd have to go to their house and do the interviews whenever possible. But the treasures you find, the neat trophies from like the 50s and 60s, right. The old team uniforms, stuff you just don't see anymore.
Well, that stuff's valuable too, like in American Pickers, when they go someplace and find old like their satin jackets and the racing team type things. That's got a real collector's market, doesn't it?
It is. And I myself have a racing patch collection. That was a thing in the late 60s, 70s. You it was kind of like a badge of courage. You had these patches on your denim coat to show where you've been and stuff.
Right.
I've got them all framed in my garage. No, they're not worth a lot. But to me, as a guy racing, just neat stuff, you know?
So racing, you know, I'm a big advocate for engaging in activities in the community, especially with your family. I think that's good to do. And, you know, the NFL's a little pricey to take a family to.
A little?
A little?
Yeah. And then a $9, hot dog after the kids get there and they're, oh, Dad, I'm hungry. It's like, well, we kind of ate before we got here, so I wouldn't have to spend, you know, another $50. But, oh, no, I'm hungry.
Right.
But race, you know, I think, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more as the season gets on. But, you know, high school sports is a fun family thing to go to.
Oh, sure.
But this racing, and I think there's an ebb and flow to racing, but when I was a kid, you know, and that was a while ago in high school, we used to go out there all the time, and it was fun. And I think the fans are super friendly to other fans. You know, just very orderly and pretty patriotic too, quite honestly, you know. And I just thought it was a great environment to experience. And if people want to, maybe they got to try it. You know, there's an ebb and flow to everything, right? And maybe it's taking a little bit of a dip here. And maybe, if someone wants to say, hey, let's try that, you guys. Let's or date night or your family.
Well, I think it's fun when you're just walking up to the train and you hear the cars right. roaring.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like when you walk up to a high school football game and you hear the band. It's it gets the juices flowing right then.
Yeah, to hear the rev of the engines and that. So what would you suggest if someone wants to try? Is there some local tracks or
There's a ton of them, and probably, I don't know, I wouldn't want to say the market's saturated, but I don't know. Locally, you have the Berg Speedway at Luxembourg on Sunday nights. On Saturdays, you have options. You have Shawano Speedway, you have 141 Speedway, and then you have the Hill Raceway in Sturgeon Bay, but they run an abbreviated schedule, like 7 shows. You have WIR on Thursday Night Thunder, which remains a very solid program.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and then on Friday nights, you have Outagamie Speedway in Seymour, which is solid. And then you have a private facility at Gravity Park USA in Chilton. They're kind of like the new kid on the block. But
why did DePere close down, and what year did it?
We cover that extensively in Life in the Pass Lane, book number one. 1979. So what happened at DePere was a combination of things. Paul Kazurowski, who was a big realtor locally, he promoted the races, and he threw on some very high-dollar shows in 1979. A couple things happened. If you remember, that was the deal with Iraq, and the gas prices went through the roof. Yeah. They had the hostages. No, in Iran it was.
Iran.
Two, they had a couple rainouts. And so the money wasn't there, and the noise was an issue. But people think it was the people that lived on Dunning Drive in DePere on the backstretch of the track. Not the case. The people that did the most complaining were the people that lived in Alloway. Depending on which way the wind blew, they could hear the noise would bounce across the Fox River. And the people in Alloway were the ones who were that had an issue with that. And so it was a combination of things. The track, the last race ever held there was July 8th, 1979, was won by Leon Plank of Mondovi, Wisconsin. And that was the last time they ever raced there. In fact, they made sure there was never racing there. I think, was it in 1990, they bulldozed the fairground or the grandstand. So, yeah.
But there's still a lot of options out there.
Yes.
I haven't been there in a while, Joe, admittedly. But can I want to talk about the affordability, because I do think, you know, money's tight for people, but to get out and entertain, go with your family or friends. But is parking still free at those things, or do they charge for parking?
No. I mean, like I said, Shawano Speedway is a $10 adult ticket.
To get in, no charge for parking, and the concessions are priced reasonably, and that is fun to watch. And it's kind of like, you know, horse racing to me. I mean, if you get to know the drivers a little bit, and some of those guys are pretty accessible.
They're all accessible,
and
yes.
To get engaged in that again, I think that's, again, I'm having flashbacks to high school, but man, did I love
that. You're kind of a greaser. Let's admit it, you're kind of a greaser. Hey, you know one thing I always found interesting, though? Those guys will just fight tooth and nail for inches on the track. I mean, bumping and grinding and doing whatever. And then in the pits, if somebody needed a spare part or something, the other guy, the guy they just went nose to nose with, would be the first one to load them apart.
Awesome.
I also thought that was kind of a cool
camaraderie
thing.
Camaraderie.
Right? Oh, it is. The camaraderie is good. Sometimes they get caught up in the social media aspect of it. If something doesn't go their way in a certain night, they'll take the Facebook. I got screwed on this deal, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I always try to encourage guys, because I do marketing and stuff for them. You know, keep it positive. Keep it fan. But it's very affordable. A little quick Tony Stewart story. 10 years ago, Tony Stewart bought Eldora Speedway, a dirt track in Ohio. And I went there for the first truck race in NASCAR on dirt, and he was selling a six-pack of beer with an Eldora Speedway cooler for $12, and he'd pack it with it. But Tony Stewart gets it, even though it was a NASCAR event, he kept the prices affordable. We had a stuffed pork chop sandwich or something. It was like $5 or $6.
Right.
Wow. Tony Stewart smoke gets it, you know what I mean?
Nice.
Right. Yeah.
I remember interviewing Adam Petty. Remember Adam Petty?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a sad deal.
Sad
there.
Story. And also Davey Allison.
Yes.
Who passed away in that helicopter crash and everything. So some of the big, Bobby Allison, remember meeting him? A lot of the big names
used to come around to
WIR.
He's still around.
He was awesome. Big names. Joe Vertigan, this is fun, Joe. Stick around, okay? We still have to talk about your other books.
We got other books to talk about.
We got two more books to talk about.
All right. Thanks for listening, WGBW. We'll be right back.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Severe summer weather across the country. 7 inches of rain fell in less than an hour Saturday in Upper Makefield Township, north of Philadelphia. At least 5 people killed. 2 children, a 9-month-old boy and his 2-year-old sister, are missing. Coast to coast, there's extreme heat.
In the Northeast, country star Jason Aldean had to cut short a concert in Connecticut because of the heat.
It was pretty intense last night at the show. Anybody that was at the show knows how hot it was.
And now, smoke from the historic wildfires burning in Canada is triggering more air quality alerts. Dense smoke is expected over the eastern Great Lakes and parts of New York and Pennsylvania, while hazy skies are expected for much of the Northeast today.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Death Valley, California, clocking 128 degrees. Russia says it's been hit by a Ukrainian terror attack. A key bridge connecting Crimea to Russia's mainland blown up by underwater drones. 2 people killed. This is ABC News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Dynio Clay Products in Green Bay salutes our emergency first responders. That's law enforcement, firefighters, and medical professionals for their commitment and bravery. They're willing to put their lives on the line for us with little or no thanks. This thank you is from Dynio Clay Products in Green Bay, your brick, stone, and fireplace experts since 1914. You can give them a call at 920-498-8549. You can visit online at gagnonclayproducts.com. They're saying thank you to all of our first responders.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. The Mayor and Mino here on a beautiful Monday morning in downtown Green Bay, 97.9 FM. 1590 AM, a very special guest, Joe Vertigan, great longtime friend of mine, tremendous writer. Joe, you're like a renaissance man. You coached high school football. You know everything there is to know about racing. You've been all over the place. You're a prison guard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just incredible. Now, we've been talking a bunch about local racing, which we love to talk about. I think it's fun. I think some of those characters are just extraordinary. And but we want to talk about your other book here, The Reformatory, Tales from Green Bay's Maximum Security Prison.
And Joe, I'm very interested in even at break, you're starting to talk about some of the characters, I guess, for lack of a better word, that stayed in that place. But I've been through there as mayor. We would take an annual tour, and not sure that's the most modern environment right now. You know, you look at when we built the county jail, right? It's more pods, but boy, you got some big guys and some pretty small cells, and it's just, you get the toilet right there, and I don't think they're real happy being there. That's a goal.
If I did a 5-year stretch,
oh my God,
I wouldn't go to the bathroom for 5 years. Just being honest. Go ahead, Joe.
But Joe, and you walk through there, and I mean, those are some bad dudes in there, right?
There are. I mean, there are people there. There's thrillers and killers, but there are people there that if they wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I mean, they will kill you. I mean, I've responded to probably 36 fights. A couple guys got stabbed that I responded to. I mean, the knife missed me, but it's gotten more dangerous now. And one of the issues, the bigger issue there, I agree on the facilities, is the lack of staffing. I think the governor's budget, I think the starting pay now is like $33 an hour. I started at $8.76 an hour, but the benefits package was good. I was in radio news before I did this, before I went to work for the prison. I worked at WRLO in Anago, and then I did just short of a year at WOSH in Oshkosh.
So like I said, he's done a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Back then it was very hard to get into the state with the civil service test, the physical fitness requirements. So when you got in, you were kind of like gold. And but now they're begging people. They can't find nobody to work there.
So why? But tell me about that. I want to talk more about your work there. But before we... So that's $70,000 a year, about, right? 67, you know,
right?
And they still have a benefit package.
Yeah, they do. I mean, since Act 10, that's gotten shriveled
a little bit.
It did, but
still, I mean, when you look at the average household income, the household income in Green Bay is less than that. So, I mean, yes, that's not a bad salary. So, tell me why the openings? Why the
The working conditions and because the staffing shortages and I saw this. I retired in June of 2020. I was working some overtime by choice, but a lot of it is forced overtime, and that's the biggest issue they've had. And dating back probably 10 years, it's like, okay, now you're going to work a double shift on Christmas, or you're going to, you know, you're not going to just work 8, you're going to work 16. It's real tough for like young people to work if you have families and kids and you're scrambling for daycare. That's been maybe one of the biggest deterrents, I think, was that forced overtime or that unexpected. And there just aren't as many hungry guys like in the 90s. I mean, if people were calling in sick, I mean, you'd have so many people that were hungry that wanted to step up and take that overtime and just mop up on it.
Yeah. You know, up where I'm from, when the mines really, they didn't close down, but they really, you know, technology needed less people.
They downsized, basically.
Yeah. And so many of my, one of the big things that so many friends of mine that had worked in the mine that kind of got laid off, they went to be prison guards because the UP was popping up.
Berriga had one, didn't it? Munising,
Berriga, Marquette.
Yes.
Rudyard. But those were considered like, oh, man, because when you worked in the mines, you made good money.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the only things comparable to it then was getting a job at the prison as a prison guard. But what are some of the things that people don't know? Like when you go to work every day, Joe, inside those walls, what are some of the things that are on your mind?
Well, there's some of the meanest, nastiest SOBs you'll ever find, and then there's the inmates. I always joke and say that. No, it's a lot of it can be boredom or routine things, but you can earn your whole year's salary in 30 seconds responding to critical incidents. What we've seen, you know, again, I've been out of it going on 4 years now, but towards the end, you saw a lot of mental illness and a lot of staff weren't really equipped and aren't trained properly to deal with that, you know. So you're seeing more social workers, more psychiatrists and psychologists getting into the department, which is probably necessary. You know, a lot of things changed, you know, in the 90s. You know, you could use force on those guys without too much repercussions. Now you've got to really dot your I's and cross your T's. I wouldn't want to be a cop in the city. I bless any of those guys that want to do that job. Even though there's no cell phones or there's not supposed to be inside the prison, every move that you make is really being scrutinized by Madison. And the biggest difference to it started around 2000 when the prisons all over the state really became what I want to say micromanaged by a big bureaucracy, which is known as the Department of Corrections. When I started there, we had a warden from, he was from Green Bay, and he came up through the ranks as an officer, Jim Murphy, God rest his soul. But he ran that prison. It was his prison. He was well-respected. The staff had a lot of respect for him. And unfortunately, not all, but a lot of the wardens that came in after that, Madison calls the shots no matter what. And those wardens were afraid to do anything or make any decision, you know, and that's a real big issue there.
Maybe we needed a little bit of oversight, but because I remember when I was in his office and he's showing me some of the instruments you guys used, and he called it the come along.
Oh, that's, yeah. We got rid of those a long time ago.
That's a good
idea. Yeah. Right. Oh,
that
yeah.
That was a little too much.
Can I read a quick excerpt from this book? Yeah. Talk about what you're talking about. Staff were getting the pee beaten out of them everywhere I turned. It didn't matter if it was male or female. These inmates were attacking everyone. I saw little Kimmy Shower get hit, and she dropped to the floor like a slab of meat. Verville?
He's from White Pine, Michigan.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
It was awful. We were outnumbered because there were well over 100 inmates involved in this. There were maybe one dozen staff who were able to respond. The odds were against us.
Yeah.
That has to be one of the scariest things in the world.
No, it is. And I was actually off that day. I was doing some drywall in my house, and I heard it on the new news about this disturbance. I'm like, oh, geez, now what happened? You know what I mean? But, it can be anything that can spark it off. And what caused that incident you're talking about, they didn't get showers the night before because there was no hot water, and it was a communication issue between the security director and the captain at that time. They didn't relay it on to the next shift, and that's when, you know, it was a big blow-up in the South Soho Hall.
But isn't part of the issue there? I mean, right, no one wants to be there, but wasn't it built for 500? You have like 900? Isn't it like crazy overcrowded?
Well, it's gotten better.
No.
When I got out of there, we had our count was around maybe 1150 for inmates, and I want to say it was built for like 650. Remember, that was originally a boys' home, and that's why it's called, the old timers still call it the reformatory to this day. It wasn't an adult facility until like the very early 1970s, so it actually had a lot of youth offenders at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the scariest part about going to work, Joe? Just the unknown, or?
It was just when you think you saw it all, something else comes up. I wish I could tell you some of the stories in the book.
Yeah.
The tattoo story. I got to think about this because there's some unbelievable. We've had some notorious criminals. Well, not notorious, but a lot from local crimes that were there. And you got to remember this. It's not our job to punish them in there. I mean, you know, despite what they may have done or been convicted of, they're still human beings at the end of the day. And we did try to treat them with respect. And granted, we could get away with a few more things in the 90s. But it is, when I say that, I mean, it's not like Brubaker where they're beating the crap out of it. Right. That really seldom, if ever, happened. I mean.
And you had some characters in there local that some of us would recognize the name.
Stephen Avery was in there, a couple times. And then we had Brendan Dassey. Stephen Avery, I've got a story, and I'm comfortable sharing this one with you. So, okay, we all know that there was a guy, there was that one rape that he was exonerated of that they found out he never did. Well, looking back on this years later, I remember standing chow in the dining hall, and Stephen Avery is sitting across from the guy, I think his name is Greg Allen, whatever his name was, who actually was convicted later of doing the rape. And he's sitting right across from him, and looking back on that, he's looking and eating breakfast at the guy, knowing he's in prison for a rape that he didn't even do, that he did. I thought, boy, that's pretty cold, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that was the one, that's when Avery was going to get the big settlement.
Yeah, this was before that, the first time, actually.
No, yes. I know that, but because of that
is
what he was going to get that big settlement of. Because
And Avery worked in maintenance. I mean, he was just like a little lawn gnome. I mean, but I knew that family from the 80s down, out at 141 Speedway, because you know where they're at, in Michigan.
Yep.
I've known Chuck Avery a lot, but it's just that whole case, there's more questions than answers, too. It's, I don't know.
I've got a question. Go ahead, Joe.
I've been through there. What surprises me, Joe, sometimes is, you know, and I've been there a number of times. The security seems really, really tight there to me. I mean, you go through those sets of doors and they're frisking you, and I'm like, geez, you know, but yet you still hear that they sneak in things.
Well, they do. And it's, you know, sometimes it's on visits, sometimes it's dirty staff, I hate to say. So we've caught people smuggling in balloons of dope in a baby's diaper bag, in diapers. there's no shame. They'll try to slide $100 bills in inside the soles of shoes through property. I've got an incredible story just to tell you what lengths these guys will go to. And it involves my wife. So, and I'm comfortable sharing this one. So we have standing counts every like four or five a day. And my wife at the time, we weren't married, but she was making rounds on, I was going to get ready to do a count in the South Cell Hall. And this inmate, they have trustees or runners, which are, they have their cells right by the sergeant's desk. They do things like mop the floors and serve sure. the meals. You know, they'll do
trustees,
you know,
yeah.
essentially. So this trustee, her name was Crooks at the time. He says, "Hey, Crooks," and he hands just a pen through the doors. He goes, "On your day off, take this home and treat yourself to a spa." Well, the red flags went up because they're always trying to solicit staff. So my wife now ran it after the count cleared, ran right upstairs at the captain. She throws the pen on the table. She goes, she told him what happened. She goes, "I don't want to know what's in that pen." The captain cracked it open. Here he was trying to give her $100. There was $100 bill in there. And so the theory, what these inmates will do, okay, if you take this $100 bill next time, now you're going to bring me in cigarettes. You're going right. to bring me in marijuana, a gun. I mean, a cell phone. So, but she nipped that in the bud. You know yeah. what I mean? But wow. yeah, that's if that $100 bill is floating around there, how much other stuff is? And this was probably 20, 25 years ago. That story's in the book too. But yeah,
In your book, that place is called Reformatory. Is that a goal, or do you just are they trying to? Don't you have a little bit of learning in there? Some things with statues they can do, or plaster Paris, right? Don't
well, you there make, is, and one of the biggest tragedies.
I've seen some amazing artists.
Well, I tell you what,
that's
we
true.
One
seriously,
of, yeah. One of the bad yeah. things in there that they keep cutting, and this goes back to our lawmakers in Madison on both sides of the aisle too. Basically, they keep cutting all the vocational programs, and doggone it, those are the ones these guys kept busy. And for the ones that were getting released, like the Mason program, yeah, welding, we used, you know, all painting, all sorts of stuff, and a lot of them would get jobs on the outside. And those are the ones that our state lawmakers would always ask. We do have an education program there that I believe is federally funded. But it's, I hate to say it, it's kind of a sham. Everybody kind of goes through the motions. So essentially, any offender that does not have at least a GED or above, they all get assigned to it. We've got guys in their mid-20s going to school, quote unquote, but in a lot of cases, it's yeah. tough. Yeah, it's just they go through the motions. But the vocational programs are good, and sadly, those are ones our lawmakers keep axing all the time, you know?
As bad as it can be to be a prisoner in a place like that, I can imagine it's, you know, no fun at all.
Yeah.
How do some of these guys keep getting... Why do you screw up once you get out? Do you ever ask those guys that when they come back?
A lot of them, they have it better in there. I mean, they've got pretty good health care. They have it better. And a lot of their situations aren't the best. There's a story of a young man there in the 80s who got he was getting released in 3 days. It was a Dear John letter, and his family basically said in the letter, "We don't want anything to do with you." Well, he jumped from D tier down, unfortunately, to his death, and nobody saw it coming. He put his hands in his pocket and just took a nosedive, and it was tragic. I mean, tragic deal. But
some of those guys don't have a chance from birth almost. Isn't that the truth on some of their home environments?
No, that's true. But, and everybody says, you got lifers in that. They ask you, which guys give you the most problem? The lifers were the least of the problems. Those are the guys you hired for good jobs. It was these kids with 3 to 5 years that had a battery or, some kind of a different offense that the short timers gave us more headaches than the lifers often.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Joe, and I want to... All right, I'll get to my phone. I'm sorry.
This is fascinating stuff, Joe.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. You did something I could never do. I could never be a prison guard. It's not yeah. even a question about
it's
that.
It's not for everybody, that's
no.
for sure.
We got to send a quick break. Joe Vertigan, author of 7 different books. Right now we're talking about his tremendous book, The Reformatory Tales from Green Bay's Maximum Security Prison. We'll be back one more time, Mind on the Mayor, right after this.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. We can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. For more information, please visit wisvets.com. That's wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 75. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 55. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 78. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Low 80s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning cooler Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 57.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
Welcome back to Mayor Mino here on 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, Green Bay's Talk Radio. We're here with Joe Vertigan, a seven-time author working on his eighth. We're talking about his book, The Reformatory, Tales from Green Bay's Maximum Security Prison, where Joe was a guard for how many years, Joe?
About 2 months shy of 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, the reason he went in to become a prison guard is because he was my intern in TV and realized that he wanted to do something more worthwhile in the world.
Work with better people.
Exactly. Yeah, better clientele.
But, Joe, you're a local guy. You,
Green Bay Southwest.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know racing, and you obviously know the prison thing, and it was fun talking to you at break. You have a lot of stories. Like, you're the kind of guy that I would like to have a beer with. Because I think you've got a lot of stories.
It's a lot of fun.
And I told you that it's weird when you read about these escapes, even Alcatraz, but, you know, and it's kind of like there's a small party that's like, that's kind of cool what happened. I mean, the ingenuity.
The testosterone. And I've got a story for you. So
give it to us.
And it was late 90s, and this is detailed in the book. There were two inmates that for a year that we didn't really know about this. They had made a rope out of dental floss. For over a year this took place. So the guy would win. They would bet in NFL games and stuff. And instead of cigarettes or stamps or whatever, you know, some junk food, just give me floss. Well, nobody thinks twice about that. You know what I mean? And so he had built this rope, and he was lucky. He dodged the cell searches and was able to move this stuff around. So, you know, when he thought his cell was going to get searched, it was never there. But so what it was, so what happened was, I'll try to get pictures of the mind here as best I can. These two offenders were janitors in the rotunda. You've been through the rotunda, Jim, right?
Yes.
It's that big. It's a beautiful place with the big pillars and stuff.
Right.
Well, off that was a walkway that. It was the first snowfall of the year, and after class change, it was their job to go shovel this out. Well, these guys had made grappling hooks, and there was an escape attempt. I worked in pass control that day, and one of the maintenance guys says, there he is. He's up on the roof. So they had both rappelled their way through with this thing, and they went on the roof. And so, I mean, it was like maybe a Tuesday morning or something. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and these guys are on the roof. It's a legitimate escape attempt.
Wow.
And one of them got out, and they used to rappel down. They used the rope made out of dental floss. One of them got down, and by sheer dumb luck, Dennis O'Neill, who was an all-state running back from Niagara, runs a 4.5 40, was on break up front. He was the first one out the door, and he tackled him down by the. So he was free for 45 seconds. I mean, this was a legit attempt, because the second one, by the time our captain Greg Heitzke got out, he had him with the shotgun, and then he lowered him down, and they cuffed and stuffed him. But This was a legitimate attempt. These guys both had shanks at them, homemade weapons. They had cayenne peppers even to throw the scent of the dogs off. I mean, they planned this off. They had like beef jerky and foodstuffs they smuggled from the kitchen. This was legit. But now when they split these guys up, and they asked him, what was your plan from here? One of them said, we were going to carjack somebody. But then the other one said, we had a getaway driver. They were both from like the La Crosse area. The guy who, the main guy has been out, and I interviewed him for the book, I forget his name. Well, it's with a D, but Doomer, Timothy Doomer.
Okay.
He got out. He's married. He's doing well. We're working in heating and air conditioning. And he tells a story about how he obtained all this stuff. And it's
Can we get him on this show to talk about this?
Probably by phone. Yeah, I bet
that's
you he'd
what I mean,
do
by
it.
Phone. Yeah, he would. Awesome.
But isn't that interesting? Like to just anybody. I mean, you gotta give those guys credit for the tenacity of a year of planning. And throwing off the dogs with the beef jerky and the cayenne pepper. And,
But
talk about bad luck, huh? This running back is the guy that is on duty, on break.
It's then when he tackled him, he broke his arm. And Dennis O'Neill, and Dennis does some of the book signings. I do some author talks, and he goes, good hit, O'Neill. And he says he broke when he cuffed him. He says his arm was just dangling there. It broke. But and then he said when he got his first phone call when he was in the segregation unit, he called his dad and told him what happened. His dad said, "What the hell took you so long?"
Four or five. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Yeah.
Other stories in your book are, and we don't have time now. We're gonna get up against the clock here a little bit, but you've got some great stories in that book, and that reformatory. I mean, that's a necessary part of our community, right? I mean, you got to have a place, and I think you guys have done a great job. I worry about your safety on occasion because I do think it's overcrowded, but you're telling me it's better than it used to be. Where can we get your, I mean, you have these seven books on the desk here. I think we're going to give some away on Friday. Are you okay? I mean, we'll buy them
all
from you,
away.
But, okay.
Give them all away. Yeah,
because
good.
Friday we have a little bit of a week in review, but tell us, where are your books available, Joe?
Well, I do them on my own website, joevertigan.com. We guarantee like next day shipping with a personalized copy, but locally, Barnes & Noble, they're actually in the store, or Amazon.
I sure miss Bosses.
Bosses has them in De Pere.
That was
they
our
do.
Favorite place. Hey, Joe and I both did book signings. Oh, yeah. Bosses downtown here. I just thought that was the jewel of downtown Green Bay was Bosses.
I agree. They were there how many years, Jim? Over 100 some years.
They were.
Yeah.
That's a shame. That was
the nicest. And the nicest people, too, right? I mean, they have the unique
Steve
readings.
And Lisa.
Right.
Yes.
The unique readings, but. And I love the smell of that when you walked in there, right?
Oh, yeah. That's
love
cool.
Love that place.
Yeah, Bosses has them.
But they're doing well in De Pere, I'm sure.
Barnes, they are, actually. Right. I've been in there a few times. But, yeah, Barnes & Noble, my website, Amazon. But shop local whenever you can.
Absolutely.
I mean, even though they're in De Pere, pay a visit to Bosses. I mean, they're good people, and they got a lot of cool stuff in there, too.
And tell us,
and very supportive of local authors.
Oh, they are?
Yes,
and
they are. Yes.
So what are you working on?
Next book right now is I'm working on a book called The Monfils 6 Case 30 Years Later. So what it's going to do is take a look at the main players in that case. Well, it'll be 31 years later. You know, and what prompted me to write that is a couple things. One of the six, Dale Baston, was my trustee in Green Bay Correctional for probably 3 years. So, I mean, I saw Dale literally every day. Ray Moore was there, too.
Sure.
And those guys, you know, this case, there just seemed to be some holes in it. And I'm not saying guilty or innocent either way, but there's only one guy locked up yet, and that's Keith Kutzka.
Right.
It's the case is still talked about frequently in the local watering holes. Anytime I come back to Green Bay.
Well, one of the guys that had been locked up was one of my dear friends, Mike Piaskowski.
Yeah, and he went to school with my dad, and he was adamant there's no way these guys had anything to do. But Pye's very busy. I mean, he's involved with the local Muscle Car Club, and he's organizing a lot of stuff like
that. He's also big with Vietnam Vets.
Yes,
he
is.
Big reunion up here 1 year with those guys.
Oh, yeah, great guy. So, but the book is going to be talk to both sides. I even had a great interview recently with a retired assistant district attorney, Pat Hitt, he gave me some great insight. He didn't dodge any questions. It's a lot of fun.
You dig deep in your books. Yeah, it's not just your thoughts, right?
Right.
I don't know, you're a research guy. Is that fair to say? But you dig pretty deep, and I'm looking forward to that book. But in the meantime, I got seven other books I want to read. Joe Vertigan, great writing and local, and there's so much in this community, so much rich history and things going on.
And that's what this show's all about. Right. We just want guys like yourself.
Okay,
this is, we don't want anything national. We want everything just in the local level. Who lives here and what they do.
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
this is more interesting than the national stuff too. And it's and it's great people that do the writings and make it happen here in Green Bay. And yeah, we're gonna get you back with your new book, man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, can't wait.
But in the meantime, Joe Vertigan, your website. JoeVertigan.com,
right?
JoeVertigan.com, yep.
Outstanding.
All right.
Big fellas, great seeing you again.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Joe.
You're coming back, buddy. Yep. Mr. Mayor, we're out of a Monday.
All right. Sounds good. We've got a golf outing we're going to get to right now, and then we'll see everyone tomorrow. WGBW 1590.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocate. Kids with Dom and Crude, and 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.